Welcome to a new season of Retrain Your Brain with me, Dr. Audrey Tang. I'm a chartered psychologist and a trainer, and I specialize in giving you simple, accessible, practical tools to achieve everything you want out of life. And in this season, I am thrilled to introduce to you many guest experts whom I've had the pleasure of learning from, and I hope that you will benefit from their expertise too.
Mental health and mental wellness is for everybody. It's not about how much money you can pay or whether someone reaches out and offers you a helping hand, but it's really important that you feel great about yourself. So, Pete, how did Talk MH Training come about?
We work in partnership with a charity called Breast Friends in Northampton, which is a charity that supports people that are diagnosed with breast cancer. And what we do is we support the partners of people that support that get breast cancer. I'm life experienced from that. My wife was diagnosed about 3-4 years ago with breast cancer. And it came very relevant to me, which is the reason why I do what I do now, was that there was no one to support myself. So whilst the NHS were looking after my wife and dealing with the cancer and looking after all her treatment, there was actually nowhere for me to go, and I received no support. So I found myself quite lonely, quite stressed, quite depressed and worried, high of anxiety. And from that, I decided, right, what I will do now is with Talk MH is we will offer that as a partnership. So we now support them across Northamptonshire. We do it through our CIC, which is Space Toaster. Anybody that comes down, they've got a designated web page on there. They come to us. We arrange for one-to-ones or group meetings with the partners instead of the diagnosed patients. So it's the partners can come to us because, of course, men are men and they won't put their hands up. All of a sudden, they find themselves in a situation where they're dealing with taking the children to school, going to work, cooking the tea, looking after their partner. Plus, they're very worried in some cases. Yeah. The diagnosis is quite terminal, so they're having to deal with all that, but there is no support arm for them. So that's what we do.
So tell me a little bit more about Talk MH Training and the key causes that you offer.
Talk Mental Health was founded on the principles of peer support as an aid to better manage our own mental health and support those in recovery from mental health issues. We are grounded by our own lived experiences on mental health conditions, and we're supported by our knowledge of the current situations and our current academical principles related to non-clinical peer-based mental health support. So basically, we try to strive and demystify the mental health, and in simple terms, we start with the principle that is, it's okay to be not okay. Yeah. Normal not to be able to cope sometimes. We're running 4 courses. We run a mental health awareness course, which is an awareness course aims to, again, demystify the subject and provide an evidence-based overview of what mental health is all about. And we do that either at our client's location, or we can do it online, or we can do it in our own training suite we have in Toaster. So we do that. We are actually working with West County Council at the moment, and they're offering the facility to do it in their libraries. And as a bit of a support to ourselves, they've offered that for us for free. So we can go in and offer free training to the public via the Northants libraries for free. So it's all come and get it. It's all free. So that's our first course, Mental Health Awareness. We do Mental Health Champion, which is a 2-day course. That's quite intensive, but it's a training course aimed at preparing employees to take on the role as a mental health champion in the workplace. So basically, that's getting them. We look at some of the mental health first aid courses are just like a Band-Aid, and they're not enough. They're just a sticking plaster, where if you go on the Champions course, you actually trained that. You're spending those 2 days. So if any of your workers want to put their hand up, or colleagues want to put their hand up, you're not just going, oh, well, who's the first aider in the room? The person that's in charge of that topic can go, right, I know exactly what's going on here. But hopefully they'll pick that up before. You know, they should, because our training would consist of them actually seeing the signs and the signals and trying to create a culture where those people are okay to say, I'm not okay, and put their hand up and go, I'm really, really not good today. You know, I'm struggling. And for then that organisation to go, yeah, okay, that's fine. Let's have a chat. and for them not to feel awkward, you know, and be able to raise their hand. We then do a peer support facilitator, which is courses preparing individuals to be able to competently and safely facilitate a group in a peer support in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So again, having a peer support group in a workplace is ideal place, ideal thing to have, because then people can come to that in the tea breaks or after work or whatever, and they just put their hands up and go, hey, you know, we're feeling a bit down today. That's not a problem. And that can then be fed back to the culture, back through the system, back to the bosses, because we realise that when people actually go off sick for mental health, they very rarely come back. Mm. They've left. Do we see them come back? They may come back for a short period of time, but majority of the time they leave and they decide to do something else, or they are that mentally ill. They just can't come back to the working environment they were used to being in previous to situation is. So that's our peer support facilitator. And then we have a leadership one. And this is a course specifically designed for young people, 16 to 24. And this provides an introduction to understanding the skills required to lead teams incorporating mental health situations in it. So those are the four courses we've got: leadership, peer support, mental health champion, and mental health awareness.
It's fabulous. And it's largely all about getting people to speak up, because if you have somebody that you know is going to be able to help you, it's easier to say something. But also, if you have created a safe environment, which I guess is what the causes establish, it does make it a lot easier to say, I'm not okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of companies that they, for whatever reason, they don't really accept that mental health is, they're aware of it's in their workplace and it's a problem, but they don't really want to face it face on. They've got too many other problems going on, where in fact it is a major contribution to why people are going off sick and people are ill. And in the present circumstances we're in at the moment, it's quite prevalent that you should be asking your staff, you know, are you okay and can you cope and is everything all right, you know, because there are a lot of people not.
Absolutely. And just to throw this one in there, with the hybrid work environment, with people not spending as much time in the office, is it quite as easy to have that relationship with staff?
Again, I think it comes back to an education and realizing the fact that you can check in. You know, you've got Zoom. You like me, I do more Zooms than I actually meet people face to face. However, with my staff, I check on them all the time. I'm always checking on them, just making sure they're okay, because we're in this industry. But I know a lot of people that work in other industries, they're never checked upon. They're left in their little silos for weeks on end, and nobody actually just brings them up and goes, you know, after 5 o'clock, are you okay? Is everything all right? Mm. And then when they say no, that's when, you know, are you really okay? You know, and that second trigger normally gets them to go, well, actually, no, I'm not.
Mm. How do you think your military background has helped you develop your work in the area of mental health or treating mental ill health?
Oh, well, my military background, I think, was I joined the RAF when I was 17 and I was 40. So I had a big chunk of my life there. And when I joined the Air Force, there was a chance to go around the world quite a lot. So I met many cultures, and I lived in and worked in many countries, from Europe, South America, North America, as far as, you know, the North Russian border areas, as well as down in Australia and New Zealand. So meeting all these different cultures gives you an understanding of how people outside the country you live in think. And because then you get that cultural awareness, you get to think a little bit of what the way they think. Not all the times, but majority of times. I know when I lived in Germany for 8 or 9 years, I found that the German view to the way they police things and the way they did things were completely different to, you know, when I was in the Middle East, it was completely different. So that I feel that experience, that knowledge is something that I'm grateful for, thanks to my previous career.
Yes, you're talking about empathy, really. You are talking about really understanding what someone else's reality is like. And that's so important, especially when it comes to things related to the brain, because unless we can express what's going on in there, it's almost like detective work to find out what's really happening with people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, very much so.
So how would you suggest perhaps organisations or loved ones can support people who are really on that, I'm fine, I don't need help, I'm coping. I know you're saying ask twice, are you okay? No, are you really okay? Because that can let them open up. But what about people who are just adamant, I'm fine, I don't need help?
I think the partners and need to just maybe get themselves aware of the situation. Mm-hmm. The thing with our awareness courses that we run is just we want people to be aware of all the situations that these people, that some people will change and people won't notice that, you know, or they might just start doing something that's a little bit weird. And it's, for me, it's like, oh, hang on a minute, the wife's all of a sudden started washing the car three times a week and she never does that. That's a trigger to something. So that's where partners and colleagues and friends should turn around and go, actually, you know, this guy or this girl always comes to football at 3 o'clock and we always have a pie and a pint. But this week, they were late. Mm. Didn't give a reason why. Mm. And then that's when you can, are you all right? Are you really all right? Mm. And if they want to talk about it, they will do. They will put their hand up and they will say, well, actually, it might take a while. It might take while you're walking back to the bus stop after the football game or whatever. But if you keep reassuring them that you're there to support them, then I feel that people will then turn around and go, do you know what? Let's go for a drink and let's have a chat. And that's when, you know, you've done what you want to do because you're trying to support that individual. And that individual will be forever grateful. You know, that's a bit like that. You know, we talk in the dark parts about the hand on the shoulder when people are on bridges and railway platforms. And that's all you're doing. You're that hand on that shoulder, but you're a verbal hand just helping them.
Mm. I think what you're saying speaks to something a lot deeper than training alone, because you're talking about connection. You're talking about observing your teams, your loved ones, knowing what their baseline behavior is and looking out for any changes. And that's something that I think we can all get more used to because we're very distracted by our phones these days.
that's very true. And I think, you know, under the circumstances of people working and they're very busy and with COVID actually putting more pressure onto businesses and industries across, people don't have that time to take that look and lift their head up and see where they're going and what's going on around them. But actually, if you just take that 2 minutes when you're having coffee break to see what your colleagues are doing, could be the one time that they might just turn around and look at you and smile, and then you go, ah, you've got that connection, and then you know that there is maybe something that they want to talk to you about.
Yes, totally. So what is something we could do today when it comes to maintaining our own mental well-being?
Well, I love the stress bucket diagram. I think that's just because all our stress buckets are different sizes and we all have different amounts of pressures going into these stress buckets. So, you know, my stress bucket on a Monday might be a pint size, but by Thursday, it could be a gallon and a dustbin by Saturday, you know, and then Sunday it could be back down. And, you know, for the listeners, you know, if they don't know what a stress bucket is, they need to go and have a look on mental health and Google it, because the stress bucket's a fantastic example of how everything can come in. But if you've got a tap, which is like talking to somebody or putting your hand up, and you can release that pressure, then it's never going to overflow. And we don't want it to overflow, because if it overflows, as you know, that's the point where those individuals are then either in a dark place, they're thinking they're going to have to give up their job, they're ill, and they're going into deep stress, they're going into deep depression, they're getting high anxiety. But if you can take those little things out, I think the banking industry needs to look at itself very, very hardly, the way that he will send text messages, letters, mm-hmm. in a circumstance where a lot of people are struggling with financial situations, and they haven't changed the tone of their letters and they haven't changed the tone of their texts.
Yeah.
We have a credit card company that really needs to sort of educate itself in the way that it sends those text messages out, because they are quite blunt and very straightforward. And for somebody that is suffering with stress and is depressed and is their stress bucket is full, that could be just a couple of teaspoonfuls of stress that tips them over the edge. I think that's a very, very good tool to use I do it all the time.
Yes, I love it. It's with the NHS, actually, in fact, is the NHS stress bucket. They have some good imagery identifying who or what your different taps are, the ways that you can release and reduce the amount of stress that you're carrying with you. And stay with us, Pete, because I want to talk a little bit more about financial stress. You make a really good point, even though I know this wasn't quite the point of this conversation, but about financial health, because it has a huge impact on our mental well-being. When we're in debt, when we're worrying about whether we can pay our mortgage, it's one of the most horrendous things. So I'm really glad you brought that up. Do you think there's some real sort of societal changes maybe need to be made?
We're all learning from Boris downwards that, you know, every day is a different day. Every day you've got to learn by your mistakes, and you've got to take on board, and you cannot carry on with the same script day in, day out, because it has to change. You know, you wouldn't keep sailing north if you were trying to sail south. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You've got to change, adjust, and there are certain industries really need to take a big look at themselves. That I think they would be more productive and they would get more benefit from their clients if they actually treated them slightly different, especially taking into consideration the pressures that we've got with COVID. Yes. Going back to this bucket, the one thing that I like on the NHS one is where there's the tap of the alcohol and the cigarettes, but it goes back in eventually, and it tops up. So that's one that you want to avoid. It's okay in the right amounts, but too much will overflow it and push it back into the system. You know, we're going through what we're going through. It's party time and people are drinking because of all their stress and anxiety and they want to get rid of it. But remember, you know, stop pushing it in. Otherwise, when you wake up in the morning, the bucket's full again and off we go with letting those taps off. So,
Pete, it's really just been such a pleasure chatting with you. How do we get in touch with you? How can we come and see you? How can we book on your courses?
Well, we've got an email address, which is admin@talkmhtraining.co.uk or the info@talkmhtraining.co.uk. And that comes through to the office and it will either be picked up by one of the co-founders or the administrator we have there. Our website is www.talkmhtraining.co.uk, and our office is in 4 Park Street in Toaster, which is just off the main road. It's right next to a little pastry and sausage roll shop, which is really nice. So that's quite handy when we have our in-house training, because our learners can nip and go and get some lunch. So that's quite handy. And our telephone number is 01327 437 020.
And that's all we have time for. But do check out some of the earlier episodes for 10 Minutes on My Couch with more practical tips, or else my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey Tang, Tools to Thrive. And you can catch more guest experts on my radio show on NLive Radio, which is the Wellbeing Lounge, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m.